Hello everybody, Data Expose Studio. Next session is here with three guys who know a lot of stuff about USQL. The grandfather of USQL himself, I think you should...
Yeah, I feel old now.
Yeah, you should introduce yourself. Okay. So let's start with you in the middle.
So hi guys, my name is Michael Rees. I'm a program manager in the big data team at Microsoft, and I'm owning the USQL language in the new big data platform called the Azure Data Lake in Azure.
Hi there, I'm Kenneth from Denmark. Just started as a data solution architect at Microsoft, and my main focus will be on data platform on Azure, and I'm glad to be here.
Hi, my name is Sascha Detman. I'm also a cloud solution architect, or a more broader data solution architect. And joined Microsoft last November, being a MVP, an Azure MVP for the last 4 years prior to that. Yeah, and also happy to be here.
Yeah, that's the point. When we planned the session, these two guys were not were not Microsoft at all, so I thought we have a good balance here. Now I have three Microsoft guys with me. But anyway, first question to you, Michael. Tell me, what was the intention to create a new language like USQL? It is not something that a company is doing whatever every month, every year, or something like that. So implementing a new language is, I think, a massive impact or something like that.
So, I mean, the main reason why we have a new language is that if you look at the big data landscape and the languages that are out there, they're either good for extensibility, but not so good for like making it easy for people to abstract from the scale out and the ability to add your own like user codes, formats, etc. Or you have SQL languages that are, however, not very good at giving you the extensibility that you want. Mm-hmm. Like Hive, for example, if you want to add a user-defined aggregator, you have to basically patch the Hive kernel, so to speak. And so we basically felt that there is a need to have a language that makes it easy to abstract from having to think about how it gets executed and therefore be able to scale out without you having to do a lot of like design and so on around that, and make it easy to scale out not just your declarative SQL code but also your user code.
Okay.
Make it easy to integrate.
Okay.
And so that's why where we came from for the language. And then we have an internal language that gives you that ability, which is called Scope. So we basically evolved Scope into something that we can externally offer the community.
So you have something internally that you say, oh, let's make some money out of it, go to market with this kind of thing. So is it a project internally, or is this really something a lot of people use at Microsoft?
So the internal big data platform is used by a lot of people. We have several thousand internal developers on the language that is called Scope, which is the precursor for USQL.
Yeah.
So it's not like that we just had like two people kind of having a skunk work project on that. The other thing is it's running hundred thousands of jobs each day on petabytes of data, basically.
Okay.
So it's definitely something that has a lot of like maturity inside Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And now we are basically cleaning it up and bringing it outside for people to use.
Okay.
Can we make money with it? Well, we hope so. But at the moment, obviously, that's a question to be seen. But I think you're not making money with the language per se. You're making money
With the service.
With the service per se.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's kind of the goal. And obviously, we are not making this as a competition against things like Hive, but it's if you don't like Hive and you want to have a better extensibility story, use USQL. If you're familiar with Hive, you can use Hive as well. So it's not a either-or proposition. It's you can do what you feel most comfortable with.
But that brings me to a question to you guys, because I know I invited you because I know you take this kind of language and you're already working with it. What was the intention working with USQL?
Well, from my point of view, I was going into HD Insight and trying to work with that, but I think the learning curve for MapReduce job and HD Insight is fairly steep. And to be honest, I've only worked with USQL for like 4 weeks now, and I come a lot farther than I would with HD Insight. So I think it's a good choice to develop this language, combining C Sharp and SQL, and enabling developers and SQL developers to really do work on big data.
Okay, so you are the first one who already matched to Michael's idea that you bring that closer to people like you and have a faster learning curve than we are. I know you for many years, and you already did all these kind of MapReduce things and so on. What was your intention to go over from this kind of Hadoop things to use SQL?
Yeah, the main reason was I'm a Microsoft developer for over 16 years now. Started with web development, later on did business intelligence projects and so on. And as you mentioned, for the last couple of years, I did Hadoop projects, and it was kind of a really hard learning curve to more or less pull out my old Java knowledge, understand the whole stack of Hadoop, and that took me some time. Mm-hmm. And when I first saw uSQL, I think I wrote it on the same day I wrote a tweet, I fell in love with uSQL, just for the reason because now I can reuse my existing knowledge, which I gained over the last couple of years, and use it for processing big data problems. Mm-hmm. And the next thing is, I think the tooling, the integration of the uSQL service or of the Azure Data Lake service within Visual Studio is perfect. That's the tool stack I was looking for years.
Mm. Michael?
And by the way, I didn't pay any of them.
Yeah, no. I know. Yeah, of course, they are already. How long have you been with Microsoft now?
November?
January 1st.
Okay, so a good brainwash functionality already takes place. No, guys. The question I have is if you, let's say somebody comes to you, Michael, and say, hey, I have a big data problem, and I don't know, is something like uSQL the right tooling? What kind of, let's call it, decision tree would you give to people saying, hey, that's the part where uSQL and the Azure data analytics thing fits in the best?
Yeah, I think I would look at first what type of data and how much data they need to process. Mm-hmm. Some people might have big data, but it still fits into basically a SQL Server box or whatever their preferred relational database is. If they really have a big data problem, then the next question is, do you do data preparation? Or do you like and data analytics, or do you just do data preparation and then move it into a SQL Server instance to do analytics? Mm-hmm. Or so what is kind of your like data flow? Do you have streaming requirements, et cetera? And then also look at what are the intrinsic knowledge of the staff that people have. Like he mentioned that he has a lot of .NET experience, so obviously uSQL would be perfect for that. Mm-hmm. But if people are kind of getting hired because they have existing Hadoop ecosystem knowledge or so, then I would say you look at Azure Data Lake storage, but use HD Insight to kind of leverage the capability that you have.
Okay.
If you have more interactive requirements, maybe use uSQL if you have if you want to have data prep, and use uSQL for the data prep, but then use Spark or one of the more interactive Hive experiences or SQL DW for doing the actual interactive analytics over it until to the point where we have interactive uSQL available.
Okay. And of course, this would be a natural question. If I, as a data platform MVP, and I know that a lot of colleagues of mine asked this question already on summits to you, but maybe for the audience, this is also quite interesting question, saying, will be uSQL somehow available in SQL Server in the future?
That's a good question, but the wrong people are here for answering that. You should probably get Jürgen or Joachim in here.
Okay.
Because
But there are no plans at the moment.
I don't have plans. Mm-hmm. I'm more than happy to help the team in SQL Server to understand and integrate uSQL, but that's a decision that the SQL Server product team has to make.
Then the other way around, if we look, now you have uSQL on this Azure Data Lake analytics platform. What is the point that maybe you say, hey, we do not just use uSQL. We maybe have also the possibility to just use tSQL to bring it even more closer to the data professionals like me who have no clue on C sharp or something like that. You explained me yesterday some nice tricks. But is this something you have in mind in terms of bringing this kind of thing more closer to the data professionals?
I mean, the architecture that we have around the job service being kind of a platform where you have Yarn as the abstraction layer to execute things is designed to be extensible with other languages. The languages that we are looking at right now is obviously, for example, maybe we bring Hive into this form factor.
Okay.
tSQL, maybe there might be a chance of having some form of tSQL available, but we have to be very careful here. tSQL is a behemoth that has grown over the last 25 years since Sybase times and so on, probably longer than that. And so there's a lot of stuff in there that if I would re-implement the language from scratch, I probably would not have in the language.
Okay.
And so the question becomes like, how much backwards compatibility is expected? What are the capabilities? Like, do you want service broker there? Do you want the procedural tSQL extensions? Do you want semantic search? Do you want CDC? Do you want? So there's a lot of stuff that SQL Server is very good at offering with tSQL that probably doesn't make a lot of sense having in a big data platform, at least not at this point.
True.
So we would have to be very careful to like decide which subset it is. But having a subset that is tSQL-like with tSQL types, if there's enough requests for that, then we can make it fit, maybe, yeah. I'm not excluding that.
Yeah, sure. Good answer. A question to you guys. You are now with Microsoft, and you maybe also are the first people at customers who propose, hey, you can do that now with Azure Data Lake Analytics and use uSQL. How is the feedback from customers from your side, and how do you step into, because I asked the question about when should you use this kind of tooling now. Any experience from you guys, let's say, from the first steps to use the ecosystem?
I've got currently three projects in the pipeline which started to use Azure Data Lake Analytics as well as storage. And they are really happy to reuse their existing knowledge, as well as they started to love the additional functionality they get from the Data Lake Store, like encryption, for example.
Okay,
sure. And another main issue is that you only pay as you go. Had I spun up a HD Insight cluster, I would be paying for having the cluster operational all the time, and now I can only I'm only paying for the workload that I do. So that's a key point as well.
Sure. That brings me to another. I have this question later on, but now as you mentioned it, this is something maybe a personal thing from my side. But what would you tell people when I'm in a project, especially, and that's not just ADLA, but also the other Azure services. When we come from this old school thing where we say, hey, we have to buy a box and we invest some money and so on, and now we know it's about whatever, 100,000K, and here we go. But now with this kind of pay-as-you-go, it means how would you recommend people to work on things like, hey, what kind of budget do I need? How do I go into, into a uSQL project and see what kind of consumption I will have and so on? Is there any kind of tips based on your current experience with it? Because for me, it's quite difficult to understand and to estimate if the controller comes in to the department and say, hey, oh, you have this nice new technology. We don't care about any kind of boxes and how we scale them. You just take a slider and have the parallelism you want and so on. What is it from a cost perspective? Is there any ideas, any advice you can give to the audience in this way?
Okay. Yeah, we had that discussion, I think, an hour ago. I think it's pretty easy to calculate the amount of storage you need. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty easy for every customer. But the question, what we are currently doing to really estimate the amount of money you will probably need for your projects is we run a small POC, really a proof of concept to really estimate that, because you've got so much constraints, complexity of the data, how is it partitioned, what kind of algorithms do you call, and so on and so on. So there are so much constraints that you don't. Or that you are not able to easily give an answer, yeah, you will need that level of parallelism and so on. So that's why we look at use cases. We try to do a brief or quick implementation of those, run it on a small set of data, and then you can calculate it up to more data. Because then you really see how much parallelism does make sense for this job. Mm-hmm. How do you need to partition the data, mm-hmm. and so on.
Yeah.
You can't really, at least I'm not able to estimate that in front of every project.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the items where we have to do some work to kind of give clear guidelines about how to estimate the work. On our internal platform, like the internal token allocation, which mm-hmm. is basically how much money they budget, it's normally done on a half-year basis. Mm-hmm. And it's based on an understanding of how much data they need to process, because that obviously implies a little bit about the kind of minimum parallelism that you might need to kind of scale out. And then since it's a function of basically degree of parallelism per job times execution time, you basically start like doing some back of the envelope calculations on how much that might be. Mm-hmm. Please note, it's not just the boxes, though, that you're saving. I mean, you're saving all the operational management and to run it and so on. So that there's a lot of savings in that as well, not just the hardware saving that you do. But I agree with you that we need to get a little bit more POCs underneath our belts to kind of really understand how to best provide guidance there. Mm-hmm. And we probably also need to add some more cost tooling kind of aspects to the offering in the end. Mm-hmm. And also note that often it's not just that you get Azure Data Lake with maybe HD Insight and or Azure Data Lake Analytics. It's that you normally get something that has a bigger kind of architecture. So you have Azure Data Factory, you might have Storm, you might have Event Hub, you might have Stream Analytics. So you might have a couple of different components that you're all kind of tied together. And so that the question also becomes, how do you actually like account for the overall system overall?
So putting the whole cost of the landscape together in this way. Okay.
But then I'm sure our field guys, I'm not in the field, so but I assume our field guys have like plans on like selling that in some form.
And just to add to this, the timeline for POC is shortened massively because you don't have to wait for infrastructure in the basement. Mm-hmm. That could take months to get up and running. You can just, if you have a subscription, spin up the services.
We have the capacity.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Let's jump in the way you just mentioned this kind of jobs you have, so that the whole system on the YARN, let's say, can I say back end? Distribution thing.
Resource manager.
Resource manager, that's the right word. Is there any idea to make this, let's say, interactive? Like, I don't create a job, I just run a query or something like that directly without putting the job in, queuing, and so on. Is there anything in plan from your side to say, hey, let's do that?
Yeah, so we are definitely looking at interactive workloads as well for USQL. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to see when that comes available. Okay. So right now we are focusing on making the batch workload working. Mm-hmm. We are doing some investigations right now on adding interactive workload, which, as you mentioned, has quite a bit of a different way of dealing with resourcing and execution latency, because you optimize now for like fast time to first result, which is different than in a batch processing where you try to basically make the overall job experience the fastest. And we have some prototyping going on right now on that.
Okay, good. if we talk about this kind of interactivity, if you, and you talk about landscape, when you put that into a landscape, is there any kind of thing where you say, hey, if you use Azure Data Lake Analytics, these are the tools around Azure Data Lake Analytics which you would recommend? Of course, there are so different workloads you can do, but is there anything where you say to the audience, hey, this is something normally when you step along, this is what you do. I know that, for example, you with the Power BI people, they have now thing where you can look into the Azure Data Lake. Maybe you can connect then to the result sets of the output of uSQL directly with Power BI. Any recommendation from you guys?
No.
I might have some recommendations. So if you do streaming, for example, look at Event Hub and or the IoT Suite. You might be able to like do Event Hub directly into Azure Data Lake, or you might integrate it with Storm in HD Insight. If you want to do data movement, look at the Azure Data Factory. The same for job orchestration, like if you want to run the job at every single point in, like regularly, in some job sequence or so, look at Azure Data Factory.
Because Azure Data Factory has already a uSQL activity in it,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Exactly. So we have a uSQL activity in it, and we have data movement in and out of the Azure Data Lake store, and actually coming also into the Azure Data Lake catalog objects like tables as well.
Oh.
And then another
thing is...
Is
this an announcement?
No, it's like...
It's okay.
It's on the roadmap.
That's good.
Another thing that we have is Azure... So if you want to, for example, do... data governance and need to have
exactly.
like a global catalog.
Yeah.
We have Azure Data Catalog that gives you also now access to Azure Data Lake Store objects that you can use. If you want to do interactive, I mentioned you can use HD Insight to do some interactivity, or you can use Azure Data Factory to take data out of the data lake after you prepped it with uSQL and move it into, for example, Azure Data Warehouse.
Okay.
And I think Azure Data Warehouse also has on the roadmap to integrate more with Azure Data Lake storage as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think these are kind of the things. Yes, you can put Power BI on top of Azure Data Lake store files, but you don't get any of the query pushdown or anything because it's just like reading the file and then doing that. So if you want more like interactive queries or so with things like Tableau or Power BI, then you should probably move it into a SQL database using Azure Data Factory.
Okay, but that brings me to another question. That's very nice. If I have to put it into let's say for example Error SQL DB, any plans? And we talked about that yesterday. Any plans to push data into relational data stores? Because at the moment we are just pushing it onto blob storage or into the Azure Data Lake. Yeah, but I think a lot of people are asking, why don't you push that into Azure Data Warehouse?
That's a good question. Yeah. As you mentioned, we talked about it yesterday. So the question is, we currently do federated queries that gives you the ability to query out of SQL databases with uSQL. So the question...
Which works great.
So the question that we get is why can't you do an insert into one of those external tables? And the answer there is it sounds much easier than it actually is. The problem is that we scale out your queries. So you have a lot of different nodes that would be operating and potentially pushing data. You have basically this global transaction that is translated back into many small transactions on that remote database. In addition, that remote database might have local transactions too. And without going through a global transaction manager. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, we don't have a transaction manager sitting between. So we would have to start building a scaled out, high parallel, fault tolerant transaction manager, basically, that would allow us to do that, which is quite a bit of piece of work. Like I did my PhD in on that topic.
Okay.
It was 20 years ago, and it hasn't moved that much in terms of what the state of the art is, unfortunately. So it's not that easy. We are looking, however, on scenario feedback. So if you go to aka.ms,
it will be there.
/ data ADL feedback. Mm. You can give us feedback and basically give us more information about the scenario that you want. Like, is a staging table enough? Mm-hmm. Is create table as select in the remote data source enough or not. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm saying that we are going to do that, but having that kind of scenario information makes it easier. Definitely, I think writing it into a transactional operational store into an existing table where other transactions might be running at the same time is probably not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, sure. I have another question. More for Sasha, for example. You are a developer, C# developer. We talked about, or we have this kind of outputter and extractor concept in USQL, which I personally, as an SSIS guy, okay, yeah, let's have a look into that. But I have no real developer skills in this way. Is there any kind of advice you can give already to people saying, hey, this is absolutely easy to do, and you can build your extractors or outputters quite easily? Is there any experience you already have?
I started to write my own extractor because for one of the customer projects, I've been asked to provide an extractor for fixed value length values, which is currently not in place. And it was just, I don't know, in total 5 lines of code plus some wrapping. It was just a substring.
Okay.
So probably it's not the optimal way right now, but at least I had a really quick start and was easy to compile it, upload it to the data lake system, and just use it. Mm-hmm. So
your experience is like easygoing if you are a C# developer?
At least for the parts I already did.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think for that sort of assignment, you only need basic C# mm-hmm. knowledge.
You don't need reflection
or templatized
stuff or anything
like
that.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So this means even I can learn this as a non-developer. Okay. Don't go too into any details on that. But this brings me to another question regarding, let's say, from my SSIS background, there are a lot of people building data sources for SSIS and so on. Is there any kind of thing where you say, hey, we want to have the same kind of ecosystem that people build these extractors and so on for us and put it?
Yes,
I think you have something in place, but maybe you can
definitely
you can
so
put
we,
that from
we,
your
we
point
definitely
of view.
Would encourage people to like share their like code with other people. Mm-hmm. Right now, what we have is we have a GitHub site mm-hmm. where people can contribute projects to. Mm-hmm. We are definitely encouraging people to do that. Mm-hmm. If you go to usql.io, should be the GitHub link. The GitHub is basically linked from there.
Yeah.
There are already some samples in there, like I think you are contributing yours,
the fixed
length. Mm-hmm. We are also having an XML and the JSON extractor there mm-hmm. That we are encouraging people to use and give us feedback on.
Okay.
We are also currently looking at potentially making some NuGet mm-hmm. packaging experience easier, but that's kind of something that we are still playing with. Mm-hmm. But so for now, it's a GitHub side mm-hmm. that we kind of recommend people to do. Definitely, like if you have your own user-defined functions, your own scripts that you want to share, some mm-hmm. samples, etc. As I mentioned earlier in my presentation, I actually can quickly show a slide.
Oh yeah.
We have here, basically, we have a friendly competition ongoing.
Okay.
Basically, contribute a cool USQL project or sample to our USQL GitHub repo mm-hmm. By April 30th. Mm-hmm. Tweet your submission to me with the hashtag USQL comp, and my team and so we'll be looking at the submissions by then.
Okay.
And our marketing guys promised some swag such as USQL t-shirts,
Azure
Data Lake polo shirts, things like that to send out to the winners.
Last question, roadmap. Is there anything you can tell about the roadmap? What are the ideas? What will be the next things? Because we are now getting some kind of used to that, like with Power BI, we get every month, we get a new stuff going on and so on. Anything you can share with us regarding the roadmap?
Yeah, so we also are in kind of a monthly release cycle, although this month we kind of pushed it out a little bit because with like some internal conferences where we needed some stability of the system and so on, we basically...
Oh, you guys laughing. You were at this. Got it.
So basically, we are kind of having a monthly push where we add new capabilities. So for example, in this new push, there will be a few new capabilities like the lead and lag function, windowing function. So there is language evolvement that we are doing. At the higher level, we are also looking at bringing some of the functionality over time onto the roadmap. So on the roadmap, for example, we have finer-grained access control. On the roadmap, we have things like encryption addressed in the store. On the language side, we are also looking at obviously more extractors for other data formats, obviously performance and scalability work. Even though like we are basing ourselves on our proven platform, being in the Azure environment, of course, has different challenges that we have to kind of address and take into account. So there's a lot of like work going on that. In terms of big things, I think right now we are kind of moving towards stabilizing what we have for our kind of general release later this year. So don't expect too many like big ticket items coming in anytime soon in like GA format. But we are like also looking at working with some like things that will be in preview by the end of the year.
Okay. And GA, any ideas?
I just mentioned an idea.
Okay.
later this year.
Okay. Later this year. Okay. That's okay. Okay. Thank you very much, guys. For you, Michael mentioned GitHub, and you already have a lot of documentation, samples, sample data, and so on GitHub. Yep. Yeah. So there's already a lot of things where you can kick off your uSQL experience. Honestly, as a data professional, I can really recommend this language. That's the reason why we did this session, because I really love what you are doing.
Even though you are not a C-sharp programmer.
Even I'm not a C-sharp programmer. Yeah, I think that's really one of the... And I think from the feedback I had from my MVP colleagues, that's really one of the coolest stuff that Microsoft did in the data platform the last year. So congratulations to that. Happy to you guys that you can work with that as Microsofties, so you have cool things to show to the customers. Use it, and thank you very much, guys, for joining this session.
Thanks.
Thank you.